And we're holding on Lamed Ahmed Bey's six lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about the whole machlokas of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha and the Chachamim regarding whether the two Edom need to see the same thing at the same time. So now let's talk about other possible contradictions that there might be between the Edom's testimony and when we accept it and when not. Now we need to know for this purpose, we're going to discuss more extensively in the fifth perek, in the fourth and fifth perekim of our Masech, in the fifth perek mainly of our Masechta. We're going to talk about, you have Chakiris and you have Bedikos. When Edom are brought in, there's chakiros, which is where they're going to ask them certain basic questions to establish the time and place of when the thing happened. Then you have bedikos, which are going to be where they're going to ask them all kinds of other questions about side things. So say, for example, Edom are coming to Beis Din to testify that, to use examples from our Gemara over here. Let's say Edom are coming and testifying that Reuven lent Shimon money. So chakiris would include things like what was the exact date and time and place where that took place, because we need those for Hazama. If other Edom are going to come and say Imanu HaYisim, then we need to know what they're saying, where they were at the time. Then you have bedikus, might be, for example, was it upstairs or downstairs, or were they wearing white clothing or black clothing or whatever? Those kinds of things, whether they're wearing white clothing or not, whether they're upstairs or not, it doesn't really matter as far as the fact that he lent him $100. But nevertheless, you still have those are details that we can see whether they match up between the testimonies. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Edus hamat cheshes zuas zuba. When Edom contradict one another in bedikos, those secondary kind of questions, ksheira bedinim mominus, then when it comes to dinim mominus, such Edus would be kosher. So if they're going to say that, if one of them is going to say that it was on Sunday in New York, and the other one is going to say that it was on Monday in California, then that's not going to work. But those are chakiris. But we're saying if they're both agreeing that it was on Sunday in New York, but one is saying that the loiva was wearing a green shirt, and the other one is saying that the loiva was wearing a white shirt, that's not going to be contradictory. So, Amar Rava Mistabra Milsa de Rabbi Yehuda ve'ed echad omer ba'arniki ve'ed echad omer ba'arniki shchora ve'echad omer ba'arniki levana. It's logical to accept that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about, let's say they're disagreeing what the color of the purse was that he gave him the money. So they both agree that Reuven gave Shimon $100 as a loan, but one aide says that it was a black purse and the other one says that it was a white purse. But continues Rava, if it were to be that they argue about the actual color of the coins, if one of them says that it was black coins, meaning that they've been blackened with time over time, you know, coins tarnish, so they become darker. So if one of them says it was older coins and the other one says no, it was new shiny coins, ein mitzdarfin, then we can then Rava says Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't say that you could combine them, because then that has to do with the main edus itself, not with a side thing. It's true technically that is part of the bedikus, because the chakiris again are what are needed to establish whether it's an edus that you can be mazim. Nevertheless, Rava says even among the bedikus, obviously there are going to be bedikus that are going to that are that are, that they have to directly to do with the action that took place. And how could you accept this edus when they're contradicting one another on that?
So the logic is between the coin and the purse is that one is significant?
Yeah, basically. Because the purse itself, he's not lending him the purse, he's lending him the money in it. But when it comes to the coins themselves, then yeah. So the Gemara asks, "V'arniki So you're telling me then that if they contradict one another, let's say on the color of the purse, you're telling me that an equivalent kind of thing in dinin nefashos would not work. Va'omer Rav Chista, didn't Rav Chista say that even when it comes to dinin nefashos, echad oimer b'sayif hargoy ve'echad oimer ba'ariron hargoy, if one of them says that if one of the Edom says about whether they're coming to testify that Pliny killed Pliny, if one of them says he killed him with a sword and the other one says he killed him with an ariron, Rashi translates ariron with a French word that means a battle axe. The Aruch brings that explanation, but he brings another possibility that it might be a scalpel, a small knife. whatever the case, the point is, ain zen nochoin, then that's not, that edus is not matching up. The pasuk says vehine emes nochoin hadavar. In modern Hebrew, they use the word nachon, nachon, whatever, to mean correct. But in classical Lashon Kodesh, it means, maybe when it's said by the Edom, behine emes nachon adover, means matching up. So then this is not a matching edus, and therefore we can't convict the person based on such an edus, because that kind of thing, again, has to do with the actual action itself that they're saying. Even though they're both saying they killed him, but that he killed him, but nevertheless, they're saying it was a different weapon. On the other hand, echad omer kelev shchurim ve'echad omer kelev levonim. But if one says that he was wearing white clothes and the other says he was wearing black clothes, hareza nochoin, then that edus can still be considered nochoin, because the fact that they contradict each other on a minor detail like that, then that doesn't matter. The Yad Ramah points out, anyways, in particular, the reason why it's so important to know what the weapon was is because, in general, Beis Din has to evaluate. We're going to talk about this later in the Masechta in more detail. They have to, the weapon has to be brought to Beis Din, and Beis Din has to evaluate, was this weapon capable of killing? So fine, in the case of a sword, obviously it is. But let's say, for example, they're arguing about he threw a rock at him. We need to take the rock and see, is it big enough to actually kill a person when thrown from a particular distance, and so forth. So here Rav Chista is telling us that they can contradict each other on minor details like that, whereas Rav Yehuda is saying that not. Well, the Gemara answer is, as it's done a few times already in this parak, Gavra Gavra Karamis, are you bring a contradiction from one person to another? Rav Chista holds that they can contradict each other on such things. Even in Dinin Nefashis, Rav Yehuda holds Dinin Mamanus, yes, Dinin Nefashis loy, Dinin Nefashis not. All right. The Gemara continues. Now, Dori Amri, the Chacham of Nahada, said no. Afilu echad omer mona shachar ve'echad omer mona lavan mitstarfim. No, actually, it would combine together even if they disagree about the color and the condition of the coins. And now, Dori say even though that's about the coins themselves that were transferred from hand to hand, then nevertheless, it's good enough, and they can combine. The Gemara says, come on, well, who is that like? Could it be a Shurban Korcha? You're going to say that that's like Rabbi Shurban Korcha. It certainly can't go according to the Chachamim who disagree with him, because they said that even if the Edim didn't see each other at the time of the Edus, it wouldn't be good. We said that Rabbi Shurban Korcha had said, for example, that one of them can be saying, I saw alone on Sunday, and the other one says, I saw alone on Monday. And the Chachamim say, never mind, you don't have an Edus over here. And Rabbi Shurban Korcha says that you do. Fine, but even Rabbi Shurban Korcha, Emer de Shamat le Rabbi Shurban Korcha, Hechad le Machash Yadadi. You know what? Fine. He's talking about where they're not contradicting each other. When the one says there was a loan on Sunday, he's not saying, and there wasn't one on Monday. He's saying, I was there on Sunday and I saw him lending him money. And the other one says, I was there on Monday and I saw him lending him money. They're not contradicting each other. Who says that Rabbi Shurban Korcha would say the same thing when they're actually contradicting each other about the color of the coins? You're gonna say that we accept it because it's after all the same halva, but is it necessarily when they're and the Binyan Shloima in fact says that, listen, you know, the Nahar Dori are referring back to what Rav Yehuda had just said. Rav Yehuda had said that where they're contradicting one another on the coins and we don't believe them, and the Nahar Dori, or not we don't believe them, but we can't accept their edus, and the Nahar Dori are saying that we can. So obviously the Nahar Dori are not talking about a case where they're not contradicting each other and one says, I saw a loan of shiny coins, and the other one says, I saw a loan of black coins. It has to be that they're actually contradicting each other. It specifically wasn't black coins. It specifically, I paid attention and noticed that they were shiny, and so forth. Mi Omar, would even Rabbi Shoban Korcha say that you can accept such edus? Ella, who do Omar ki haitana? Rather, we have to say that the Nahar Dori, who means he, so it should really be him, but whatever. Well, so actually, the Rashash points out, earlier in the Masechta, we learned that whenever it says Nahar Dori, unspecified, it usually means Rav Choma, who was the Rosh Hashiva, and now duh, well, that justifies the word who over here, because it really is referring to one Chacham, even though we're referring to him in the plural. Anyway, so who da'omer ki haitana? So then, when he's saying that it's acceptable, is because he's following another. Is because he's following the following tana. The tanya of Shimon Omer of Shimon Elazar lo nechlaku bes shama bes hillel al shtei kite edim bes shama and bes hillel Do not disagree when you have two different groups of Edom. Sha'achas emeres masayim va'achas emeres mona. One says that Reuven lent Shimon 200 zuz, and the other one says he lent him 100 zuz. Then we say sheyesh b'chlam masayim mona. 200 definitely includes 100, so we don't have to say. Rashi says that we don't have to say that they're contradicting each other and they're both lying. Rather, we can say at least the one who says 200 is definitely agreeing that he lent him 100. So therefore, they're both agreeing to 100. Amanachluku al kat achas. The machlokas b'shama b'shilul would be when it's one group. One single two edim, where one of them says it was 100 and the other one says it was 200. Shabbos Shama Emim Nechalka Edusan. The Shama says at that point the Edus has been divided. One of them is evidently lying, and therefore then you don't have an Edus. Or Basil Emim Yesh Bachlam Asayim Mana. And Basil says even then you can say that 200 includes 100. Tosfos asks actually that so now let's consider then according to Beis Shammai we're saying that nechelka idusan then so how does it help when there are two sets of edim? In effect it's the equivalent of one of them was found to be a korah of apostle. It's still why is Beis Shammai holding that you have a valid edus? So Tosfos discusses a couple of reasons why that might work. When they all come b'toch k'dei dibur, then it's all considered one group. But here they're talking two separate groups. So therefore, just because one of them becomes pasul doesn't pasul the veracity, the validity of the other group. And also Tosfos points out it's one thing. For in other words, like this, we would say like this. No, it's not Edus Shati Chi after Yochel Azima because they're both agreeing to the time and place. They're disagreeing on the amount. But in any case, Tosfos is saying it's one thing, for example, if all four Edim came together as one group, then we might say, well, now that it turns out that some of them are evidently not telling the truth because it was either 100 or 200, it can't be both. The most you could say is Yesh B'chlam Asayim Mana, then maybe we should say we'd throw out the whole Edus. But Tosfos says, for a number of reasons, among other things, that they're taken not coming as all one group. They're coming as separate groups. They're not saying b'toch k'dei dibur of one another or anything like that. They're two completely separate groups. And therefore, if one of them turns out to be untrue, it doesn't impinge on the other ones. Also, Tosfos says a related point is that when they're separate groups, that the soul of one might affect the other, but that's where they're both testifying to the same thing. Here, the whole point is they're contradicting one another. So therefore, you can't say just because one of them turns out to be, because we know that one of them is not true, therefore automatically the other one is not true, it doesn't work that way. Again, if they were contradicting one another in a way where there's no way to reconcile them, then fine, we have uki, as the Gemara often says, uki tre lavahadi tre, you put two against two, and we leave the moment where it is because we don't have an edus here at all. But here, Beis Shammai agrees, listen, yesh b'chlam masayim mana, they do agree on the fundamental point that he owes him at least 100, so therefore, yeah. And Beis Hillel is saying even when it's within one edus itself. So therefore, when the Nahau Doi are saying that even when they contradict one another on the color of the coins, then so following that Braisa, following Rav Shimon ben Elazar's understanding of the Machlokas with Shammai Beis Hillel, then it would work. The same way as it works when one says 100 and the other says 200, the same way it can work even when one says the coins were dark and the other one says the coins were shiny, because at least they both agree that he on the basic fact that he owes him X amount of money. A similar case, the Gemara says, Echad Omer Chavis Shal Yain veEchad Omer Chavis Shal Shemen. What about if there's an argument between two people? What about if there's an argument between the two Edim? One says that Reuven lent Shimon a barrel of wine, and the other one says he lent him a barrel of oil. Hava Uvda, so such a case happened. Ve'osel Chamei de Rab Ami, it was brought to Rab Ami. Chayve Rab Ami l'shalom le Chavisa de Chamra mi goy Chavisa de Mishra. Rab Ami required him to pay the value of a barrel of wine out of a barrel of oil, meaning, in other words, wine costs less than oil. So he would say that. So he made him pay the lesser amount. So the Gemara says, "Kaman k'Rab Shimon ben Elazar." What are you going? Like? You're saying that Rab Ami went in that according to Rab Shimon ben Elazar. You know, even Rav Shimon ben Elazar is only talking about where you could say, listen, money is money. 200 includes 100. Ki hai gavna mi omar. Would he say something? Would he say in a case like this, wine doesn't include oil and oil doesn't include wine? And the answer is Leitzricha L'dami. And the answer is Rab Ami, the chiddush of what Rab Ami is saying is we're talking about the value. In other words, so they're not arguing about the actual barrel itself. One aide says, for example, that in my presence he was moida that he owes him the value of a barrel of wine, and the other one says in my presence he was moida that he owes the value of a barrel of oil. So therefore, it's exactly like 200 versus 100, where values, once you reduce it to money, it's the same thing. It's the same money in both cases, and therefore he could make him chayiv to pay the lesser amount, following Rav Shimon Elazar's understanding of the machlokas bis shama bis hillel. Tosfos, by the way, points out even Rav Yehuda might not necessarily disagree with Rav Shimon Elazar's presentation of the machlokas. When Rav Yehuda had said that when it comes to black versus white coins, then we can't accept their edus, he might agree that if it was a matter of 200 versus 100, we could accept because yesh b'chlam osayim mana. He just says that when it comes to black coins versus white coins, that's too much of a difference, too much of a discrepancy to accept their edus. Whereas the Nahudoi, Rav Choma, are going to say even then it still fits within what Rav Shimon Elazar is saying, because fundamentally they're both testifying that he owes him 100. So there would just be a difference. In other words, to what extent are we going to say, after all, it is the same thing, and to what extent not? Rabbi Huda is going to say, once we get to the actual condition of the coins themselves, that's too much that we can't combine together such an aedus. But whereas Rabbi Shimon Elazar would say that we could do that even then. Another case. What if the two edim, one of them says that the loan or the hoidah or whatever took place on the upper floor, and the other one says it was on the bottom floor? Well, have Amar Chanina. So Rab Chanina says that a case like that was actually brought to Rebbe, but Siddhaf Edusan, and he combined together their Edus. So even though this is another case of where they're contradicting one another on Bidikus. Actually, to be exact, by the way, Rashi says that a Dziyuta is more like it is a second floor, but it's more like an overhang second floor. Normally, a second floor is built directly on top of the first one. A Dziyuta would be more like where that's like sticking out like a porch kind of thing. And people, Rashi describes the Bnei Rosh Hasharabim walk underneath it. So yeah, sometimes you see buildings like that they have a section that's built hanging over. That kind of thing is called Dyuta Halyona. Anyway, so Rebbe accepted the two Eidos together, meaning following Rabbi Shua ben Kircha, even though they had contradicted one another on the Bedikas, because one says it was upstairs and one says that it was downstairs, then nevertheless it still works. So Rashi mentions the point that even though they contradicted one another in Bedikus, like Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanhedrin Tana on Or Masechta explains that actually Rashi is saying that Rebbe accepted it, even though we have to combine together two opinions. We're saying, in other words, that Rabbi Shuv and Korcha had said they can be testifying. One says it was on Sunday, and the other one says that it was on Monday. And Rabbi Shuv and Korcha accepts that, and Rav Yehuda had also said that as long as they don't contradict each other on the actual loan itself, on the black coins versus white coins, then it's acceptable. So in other words, Rebbe is combining together those two opinions to say that nevertheless he has to pay him the money. So with that said, though, with
again how he could
because what we're saying is we're taking Rabbi Shub and Kocha's point that they can be saying Eidos even about different days, even though we wouldn't say, in other words, that the money that he says he lent him on Sunday is obviously not the same one he lent him on Monday, and therefore we shouldn't combine them. And Rabbi Shub and Kocha says we can still combine it because fundamentally they're both saying that he owes him a money. And Rabbi Yehuda had gone on and said the same thing when they're contradicting one another on Bedikus. So here, we're one saying it was upstairs and one says it was downstairs, and nevertheless, we're combining it. So in other words, we'll see. So in other words, the Sanhedrin Tana explains that that's actually what the chiddush of what Rebbe did over here is to combine together these two different things, and nevertheless, we're still saying that it still works. Because it wasn't at the same place and everything, and nevertheless we're still saying it. Fine. All right. The Gemara goes on. Now, the Mishnah had said, we said that how do we know once the Dayanim are leaving the Beis Din Shtibul after the Din Torah, we said one of the Dayanim is not allowed to say to one of the Baalei Dinim, you know what, I would have been in your favor, but I can't help it because I was outvoted. We said, how do we know that you shouldn't do that? Because it said, like, Selech Rochel Ba'amecha and Holech Rochel Megalasoid. So the Gemara says, Torah Rabban, we learn in a Braisa. Minayin Lech Yetzeh, how do we know that when the Dayan is leaving, Shelo Yoimar, that he shouldn't lawyer, you shouldn't say Hareini Mizaka v'chaveri mechayvin. You know, I would have declared you innocent and not having to pay. My colleagues are the ones who said that you're guilty. I will ma'asa shachaveri rabu alai. What can I do? Because my colleagues they overmatched me and I was outvoted. Talmud loyma. Therefore, the pasuk says, like seilach rochel ba'mecha. Don't go as a talebearer, as a baal lashon hara among your people. V'ayma holach rochel megalasod. And the pasuk says a person, a rochel, a talebearer, a baal lashon hara is somebody who tells a secret.
Repeat,
we learned this in the mission, actually. So actually that a number of Mephoshim say, you see from this actually that the Mishnah did not have the first pasuk Leiselech Rochel. It had only the second pasuk Holech Rochel Megalasoid. Otherwise, yeah, there's no chiddush in bringing the Braisa. So the Gemara tells, Ahu Talmida, there was a certain Talmid, he wasn't an actual member of the Beis Din, but he was a Talmid sitting in front of them while they were judging. The Nafika Le Kola, the Gali Milsa, there were statements going around about him that he had revealed something to Itma Be Medrasha that had been said in the Beis Medrash, Buster Estin Retautin Shnin, after 22 years. So the Din Torah had been judged, or whatever the case had been discussed in the Beis Medrash, 22 years later, the guy went and blabbed it to some other people. Rab Ami expelled him from the Beis Medrash. And he said, "Dein Gali Razia, this guy is a Megalos Soid. We can't have such a person in the Beis Medrash."
So many years later,
but nevertheless, Rashi says it was a matter of Lashon Hara. So it was a matter of Lashon Hara, so it doesn't matter. There's no statute of limitations on it, even though it was all those years later. Nevertheless, Rav Ami said such a person doesn't belong in our Beis Medrash. Sensitive information, basically.
There was information. I was the one who voted.
I was the one who voted or whatever it is. Rashi just says it was a matter of Lashon Hara. It didn't even necessarily have to do with a Din Torah at all. It could have been something where they're discussing a case in the Beis Medrash or something happened in the Beis Medrash or whatever. Yeah.
He said the name.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. All right. Mishnah says, Kolzman Shemevi Raya. Now, let's say, so you had a Din Torah, and people are supposed to be bringing their Eidos or their Shtoros or other Rayas, so one way or the other. Kolzman Shemevi Raya, as long as one of the Baalei Dinim can bring a proof, Soyser Sadin, then he can have the case, he can have the decision revoked and rejudged. Meaning, Rashi describes, let's say he comes to Beis Din. He doesn't have the Shtar with him. So Beis Din says, look, no Shtar, no proof, so therefore you're Chayev. Then later on, he goes and finds the shtar and he brings it to Beis Din, and then he can have the case reopened. We don't say the decision is final and that's that. We say now he has new evidence and therefore we can rejudge the case. Omrulai. Now, what happens if the Beis Din tells him to begin with? Kol rayas sheyesh lecha, hovi mikanad shloshim yom. They give him a deadline. They tell him any rayas that you have, bring them within the next 30 days, and if not, then the verdict is final. So if he finds any of that evidence during the 30 days, then good, then we're good. So then he can undo the psak din because they themselves said that it's pending for 30 days. But if it's after 30 days, then he can't undo it anymore because they told him 30 days and that's it. He missed the deadline. On the other hand, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, ma yaseh eshle motzav asech shloshim or motzav la'acha shloshim. What can the poor guy do? He looked for it within the 30 days. He couldn't find it. The fact is he has a perfectly valid shtar right now. Why should we disqualify that shtar just because he couldn't find it in time? Just because his file cabinet isn't organized, let's say. What?
Because of a due date.
Yeah, because of a due date. So let's say, you know, he's a disorganized kind of guy. He doesn't have his files in a neat order. You can't tell, yeah. Okay. What about another case? What if the Beis Din tells the person, listen, you know, you're claiming such and such, bring Edim. He says, I don't have any. Beis Din tells them, bring a proof. And he says, I don't have a proof. Later on, he finds the proof, he finds the shtar or whatever, and he finds that there were Edim after all. The Tanakhama said, then that's no good. That doesn't count for anything, since he said to begin with, I have no shtar, I have no edim. In the first case, he's saying, I have a shtar, I just can't find it right now. Wow. In the second case, he's saying, I don't even have a, in the second case, he's saying, I don't even have a shtar, or I don't even have edim. So even if he brings them afterwards, then we can't do anything. And in fact, the Rashash points out, the Loshen in the Mishnah over here is, the expression in the Mishnah is "areza ene klum." It doesn't count for anything. So sorry, I missed a line over here. Later on, he found a raya or he brought edim. Areza ene klum, that doesn't count for anything. Right now, before we use the expression in the Mishnah "soiser sadin" or "ene soiser sadin." Here we use the stronger expression "areza ene klum," meaning, in other words, that Rashash says what it means is at this point, even if he does bring that shtar or those edim to Beis Din, we're not even going to accept them, says the Tanakhama, because he to begin with said I don't have any. So what, all of a sudden he's coming and bringing them? We have to be concerned that it's a forged shtar or false edim.
Edim could be there's a bunch of people there. He didn't know if they heard it or not.
Okay, edim, nonetheless.
When the case gets publicized,
nonetheless, then the Tanakhama holds. He should have said, I don't know whether there were edim over there. When he says flat out, there were no edim, means yeah. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel says sort of like what you're saying. What can the poor guy do? He didn't know that there were edim, and it turns out that there were edim. He didn't know he has a raya. He didn't know he has a shtar, and it turns out he has one after all. Therefore, Reb Shimon Gamliel says that we should still accept those.
Ellie, basically, if you say the truth, you're in default.
You're being held responsible.
Yeah. Don't let the Ellie guy know that.
Yeah. Okay. Rosh Mischaya Badin. What about another possible case? Suppose the guy sees that he's losing the case. Va'omar, and he says, Kirvu Ploni or Ploni v'Yehuduni. He says, hey, Ploni and Ploni, come over here and give Edus for me. Or he pulls out a raya, he pulls out a shtar from his pundosai. Pundosai has a couple of different meanings. Rashi explains it means over here a belt. The Rambam in some other places, the word afundosa, it's called afundosa. In other places in Shas, the Rambam seems to understand that's got a kind of undershirt. Whatever it is, he had it with him all along, and now he's waiting, Lahavdo, you have it in some of these courtroom dramas, you know, where all of a sudden, you know, basically, yeah. So he does that, then Hareza and Eklum, then that's nothing, because there it's, when he didn't know that he has Edom, he didn't know he has a Raya, is one thing. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, listen, you know, the guy didn't know. He obviously knew in advance these guys can be edim for him. He obviously knew in advance he has the shtar. He's holding it behind his belt, and he's keeping it for a moment that what he wants to make a drama over here in Beis Din. We have good reason to think that it's a forged shtar or false edim. Otherwise, he should have brought it up before.
Now it is different because you have a camera of an accident, let's say, and the witness says, no, this one was his fourth
thought. No. That's so it's one thing, for example, the guy says, so let's say, for example, yeah, let's say you have a car accident, so, and the two people are coming to Beis Din about it. So yeah, let's say, for example, Beis Din would say, so fine, do you have dash cam footage, for example? So the guy would say, I would have to go and look. Fine, let's let him go and look. But if he says, no, if he says, I don't know whether there was dash cam footage, let's say, and later on somebody comes and says, you know, I was there, I saw the accident, I have, fine, gives him to hate. That's what Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying, that we should accept such a thing. But if he's saying, but if Beis Din says, where's the footage? And he says, I don't know, I don't have it. And then later on, as they're discussing, maybe figures he's going to win the case on other grounds. And then later on, when he sees he's losing, he says, actually, you know what, I do have it, here it is. Come on.
No, the reason you do it because you want to see the guy, if you want to make the other guy lie and say, you saw it happen like this, here's...
No, there's no reason to do that. Beis Din doesn't, that's not like, Beis Din is going to look at the actual evidence. They're not going to, that's what I'm saying. We're not talking about it. We're not talking about it here, like, you know, an episode of Law and Order, Lavdell or something, you know, yeah. Okay.
I didn't understand the example you gave, but...
Okay, maybe that wasn't a good example because there he has it with him the whole... Okay, whatever, I don't know, fine. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Bar Rav Huna, halacha k'Reb Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel in the Reisha, that even though he, that even after the time, that even after the deadline, he can still bring his raya. V'Omer Rav Bar Rav Huna, ain halacha k'divrei chachamim. Then Rav Bar Rav Huna also says, the halacha is not like a chachamim. Well, why does he have to repeat himself? Pshita. Given to Omer halacha k'Reb Shimon Gamliel, memeli yadayin ain halacha k'chachamim. The answer is Mao de Tema, because without him saying both things, you might have thought, Hani Milo Chatzchila. Maybe Lachatzchila, we would say that to be so serious a din, then we would say the halacha is like a shimming on the aval di eved shapajami, but no, but what it is in other words, if we say if we would say that lahatchila, we should say that we should say lahatchila, then yes, we should listen to his new evidence and be so sedin. Aval di'eved, but if we didn't, if Beis Din said, you know what, 30 days is 30 days, we decide like the Chachamim, then we would say maybe shaper dummy, maybe it's fine as it is. We're not going to reopen the case after that. Kamash Malan, therefore Rabbi Bar Avuna wants to tell us de Ovid Mahadrin and Lay that no, if they do that, if they say it's after 30 days, tough luck, then that's a blatant mistake, which we're going to learn in the next parak about mistakes that the Dayanim made, and you do have to undo the case. So even though, in other words, so we're saying not just they gave him 30 days and he didn't bring it during the 30 days. Now, after the 30 days, he brings it. They say, you know what? Yeah, we know Reb Shimon Gamliel says you could bring it at this point. However, we don't hold like that. We hold like the Chachamim. That's why Rav Bar Avuna has to stress, no, the halacha is not like the Chachamim. Don't even think to do like them. B'diyakad, yeah. Okay. Then you have the second case of the Mishnah where they tell him, bring your Edim or your Shtar, and he says, I don't have any, and later on he finds them. So we said the Chachamim say no good, and Reb Shimon Gamliel says, listen, now he first found them. So here the halacha is like the Chachamim. And again, he repeats, seemingly repeats, and says the halacha is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Well, again, the question is pshita. Given to Omer halacha k'divrei Chachamim meli yadina, the ain halacha k'Reb Shimon Gamliel. Why does he have to repeat himself? Now, Rashi says here you can't say that it means like before, that if b'diyeved, because you know what? If he didn't say halacha like the Chachamim, you would say, you know what? Listen, after all, the Chachamim are the roiv, so b'diyeved, they followed the Chachamim, and they told him, sorry, you can't reopen the case, then we're not going to contradict them. But here we're talking about Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Das Yochid. There's no reason that we would think, once we know the halacha is like a chachamim, that we should be able to say to the Beis Din, you know what, but after all, why don't you follow Reb Shimon Gamliel? He's a Das Yochid. So why does he need to mention that point? The answer is, Hokamash Malon Dibai, he ain't halacha Reb Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Bar Avuna wants you to know that in that particular case, the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Namely, though, he would say that everywhere else in Shas, where Reb Shimon Gamliel says an opinion against the Chachamim, then the halacha would be like him, which would be meaning Rabbi Bar Avuna wants to tell you that he disagrees with what Rabbi Bar Avuna said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, which is that according to him, Rabbi Yechanan said, Kol Mokum Shoshanan Rishim Gamliel Mishnah Seinu, wherever Rishim Gamliel says a halacha in the Mishnah, meaning in Mishnayas as opposed to Braises, halacha kemoise, the halacha is always like him, chutz, with three exceptions, Me'orev, a case of Orev that we had at the end of Bava Basra, where we were talking about collecting the debt from an Orev Kablon, where the loiva has Nechosim to pay. Where there was
have to go to him.
So usually you have to go to the loiva first in halacha. However, you can go, and you can't go to the Orev first. However, with an Orev Kablon, there was a machloikas over there whether you could go to him first or whether you still have to go to the loiva first. So in that particular case, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel. With Sidon and Sidon, which was a case involving a get that was given in the city of Sidon, where the husband gave the get amanas that she gives him a particular piece of clothing of his, and that the piece of clothing was unavailable, it got burned or whatever. So can she is the get possible then because the tanai wasn't fulfilled, or the Shimon Gamliel says she can give him the value of it. And then the Tanai will be Niskayim. So in that, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Or Raya Achrona, and the second case of Raya, which is our Mishnah, where we had two cases of Raya, where Reb Shimon Gamliel disagreed, where in the first one, the halacha is like him, where there was a 30-day deadline, and he missed it. And the second one, where they told him, bring your Edim or your Shtar, and he said, I don't have them in the first place. So Reb Yochanan, so Rav Baba Chana is saying the name of Reb Yochanan, that there were three cases in Mishnayos where the halacha is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel, and the second case of our Mishnah is one of them. Rav Huna is saying that no, here in this particular case, the second case of our Mishnah, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel. But in all the other cases, he says the halacha would be like him, meaning even the other two that Rabbi Yochanan listed. Huh. There is an expression that the Yerushalmi says about it. About Reb Shimon Gamliel, halachas k'suvis ha'yo'omim pi beis dinoi. That when most of the time when we have an opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel means a psak halacha that was given out by his beis din in his name.
K'suvis
means like settled, like literally k'suvis means cut. Like you have choisech as a din or gzar din or other words like that, where the word cutting is used for deciding a din exactly. So most of the time, it says so it says. But generally, he was saying halachas ketzuvos mipi beis dinoi. So what? In other words, so that would explain why the halacha is usually like him. Because when we say Reb Shimon Gamliel, most of the time it doesn't mean only him; it means the other chachamim of his beis din who agreed to it as well. Derdus Rishonim, a sefer on Jewish history, has a very interesting explanation of what happened over there. He says Reb Shimon Gamliel was the nasi. We're talking about Reb Shimon Gamliel, the father of Rebbe, was the nasi at a very difficult time for the Jewish people. Not long after the war of Bar Kokhba and the defeat and the killing of many Jews over there and the tremendous shmad that the Romans tried to impose, etc. So in Reb Shimon Gamliel's times, things have gone more back to normal. Nevertheless, the Romans were still extremely suspicious of the Nisim. In general, the Nisim come from Beis David, and they always had the concern that the Jews are going to rally around him and declare him a king and so forth. So therefore, so most of the time, Reb Shimon Gamliel was forced to stay away from the other Chachamim, so the Romans don't accuse them of colluding together. So what would happen when his Beis Din wants to issue a particular psak, they would discuss it among themselves, they'd come to a conclusion, they'd send it to him, and he would think it over as well and say, yes, I agree with you, and then they would publish it in his name. So therefore, so we call it Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion, but really it represents an opinion of the other Chachamim who first deliberated among themselves and then brought it to him for his decision. All right. Yeah. Okay, onward.
How do you look up?
There was a case of a child, the Tavu Ladina Kamedir of Nachman. Bali Choiv, people to whom his father owed money, took him to Beis Din. Now, it's not so simple to take the Yisoyim to Beis Din in the first place. In fact, Tosfos brings, there are other Gemaras that say that you don't even deal with a case against Yisoyim unless it's a matter of Ribis is going to be eating into their Nechassim. So let's say their father had previously borrowed money from a Goy, and the Goy is demanding interest over time, and therefore if we don't take care of the case right away, then the Yisoyim are losing out. Ordinarily, we tell the Baal Chov, come back when they're older. Reb Nachman apparently disagrees with that concept, says Tosfos. Anyway, Omele Islach Sadi. Reb Nachman asked him, "Do you have Edim?" Omele Loi, and the boy says, "No." Islach Raya, do you have a Raya for what you're saying? Omele Loi, Chayve Reb Nachman. So Reb Nachman had to declare him liable, and have to give them whatever it is that they're claiming of him. Habakkuk Bochi Va'ozil. This boy left Beis Din, and he was crying and walking along. Now, by the way, you know, we would look at it and say, what, Reb Nachman doesn't have Rachmanos on the poor kid? Ein merachmin badin. You have a concept. When it comes to a din Torah, you don't have Rachmanos. The Torah specifically warns, don't have Rachmanos on the poor, don't have Rachmanos on, because you don't want to insult the rich, etc. The din is a din. You want to deal with it. You want to help him out. Outside of Beis Din, then fine, but you have to judge. You have to judge how it is.
I just cheated. I saw Tosfos and said, "En chavin ladam al b'fnei el b'fonam."
That's what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos is talking about. No, so Tosfos is saying that. It's not cheating, but Tosfos says, after all, there was, first of all, when there's a shtar, then we can say it. So Tosfos discusses that, first of all, yeah, Reb Nachman apparently disagrees with the concept that we say that we don't deal with the Yisoyim unless there's Ribis involved. Reb Nachman himself says elsewhere that no, because there's another consideration against that. On the other hand, Yisoyim have a mitzvah to pay off a choiv of their father, and if they don't, then really they deserve to follow him to where he went after 120, because how could they be taking something that doesn't belong to them? So therefore, Reb Nachman holds, we do have to deal with the case like that. Even though Ein Mekablin Edim Ela B'fnei Baal Din, a cotton is not considered Shaloi B'fonav, and they can accept the Edis in his presence. Then also Tosfos points out, there's another point as well, when do we say that here there was a shtar? The cotton didn't know of it, as we're going to go on to say in the story, but there was a shtar, so therefore, so we can, or maybe not even, the other guy, the Baal Choyv, had a shtar. We're talking about a loan. He had a shtar, so therefore, it's a matter of bringing the shtar to Beis Din, to be Mekoyim, that we could do even when the Baal Din is a cotton, for sure. Anyway, so the kid is going and crying. Shamu Hanach Inshi, some people heard what happened. Omrulay, they told him, Anan Yadinin, B'mila Davuch, you know what, we know about your father's business. We know that you have a raya against these guys. Amar Rab Nachman, so Rab Nachman says, "Baha filu Rabbanan moidu." In this kind of case, even the Chachamim would agree, even though he said that it's not considered changing his mind, it's not considered that we have to worry that these are false edim or whatever. Here, even the Chachamim would agree. You can't expect a kid to know all of his father's business, and therefore there is a high likelihood that he truly didn't know of these edim, and now then they are true edim. Another case, the Gemara says, "Ahi itza the nafak shtora mitusa yada." And there was a woman who a shtar choiv was coming from under her hand, meaning she was a third party, she was a trusted third party, a shalish, where the loiva and the malva had given her the shtar for safekeeping. Omrele, she says, Yadaina Bahai Shtara de Priyahava. She says in Bastin to Reb Nachman, she says, I know that this shtar was paid off already. Hamna Reb Nachman, and Reb Nachman accepted and believed what she said and said, therefore, to the malva, you can't collect with
it. Can we hear this?
No, but wait. Omalei over Lord Nachman, Kaman Karebi. So who are you following? You're following the opinion of Rebbe, Drama Osius Niknis Vemisira, where Rebbe says that you can give over. We learned about this extensively in Bava Basra and a couple of places, that Rebbe holds that to give it, to transfer ownership of a shtar from one person to another, the Osius, it's called Osius, because you're not transferring the paper of the shtar. What you're transferring is the choiv that's expressed in the shtar. That can be given over only Vemisira. It's enough to just give it over to the other person. You don't need another shtar to certify that you're you don't need to write another shtar to say I'm selling you this shtar or whatever. So the same way, in other words, it's considered she acquired that shtar by it being given to her for safekeeping. Therefore, she would have nemonos to say that it's paid off. It's not a matter of edus; it's a matter of nemonos.
Bring the paper.
No, that's fine. She's bringing the paper. She's saying you can see this paper. However, I'm telling you verbally that it's perua.
Usually, once perua, it's
no. You might write a shtar on it, not necessarily. Omalei, but Rav Nachman says shiny hocha di boya kalsei. No, the difference is here it was in her possession in the first place. If she didn't want it to be used, if she wanted to make the malva lose, she could have easily burnt the shtar. She could have burnt the shtar. The fact that now, so therefore, in other words, in effect, it's like she has a migri kind of. So she can say that's perua because she could have destroyed it altogether. Ikadamri, another version, loy heimna. Rav Nachman, another version is that Rav Nachman did not accept what she said. And Rava asked, well, why? She could have burnt it. Why shouldn't we believe her with this migri? And the answer was, the answer is because we already have because once it was already muchzik and based in, once it says a henpik in this shtar, it already says that based in certified that this is a valid shtar, then at that point we don't say anymore that she could have burnt it because we have a. Because we say ain't toyin an acha ma'isa bastin. A migri does not have the power to override a ma'isa bastin. You want to say that it's perua, you're going to have to bring some external evidence. The fact that I had it in my possession and I could have burnt it is not strong enough to override once it already has a henpik in it. That's according to Rashi, that it has a henpik in it. Tosfos says, what's the difference, henpik or not? Tosfos says, no, it's chazik bebedina, means that bastin already previously saw it in her hand. So in other words, it's one thing if they never saw it in her hand, she could have burnt it and nobody would have been the wiser. And now, therefore, she comes to Basin and says it was paid off, they can relieve her. But when we already have independent evidence that she had this shtar in her possession, then already we're not going to say that she could have burnt it. Then we have to say that no, the fact remains, we know that it was in her possession. And therefore, if she wants to now claim that it was paid off, then she's going to need to bring other, she's going to need to bring other proof for that.
That it was paid off.
That it was paid off, yeah. So in other words, elsewhere, Tosfos explains that it means not just they saw the shtar in her hand, means what we have now would be a migur l'mafreya. She could have burnt it before Beis Din ever saw it in her hand. Well, there's no such thing as a migur l'mafreya. A migur is what she could have said now. So, yeah.
Said that out.
What?
Migur l'mafreya.
Migur l'mafreya, Tosfos mentions that in Xubas. Esvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, on the other hand, I have a contradiction to you from a braisa. A braisa says, we learned this in Bava Metzia, simpoin sheyesh olav edim, a simpoin, the word simpoin in general means something that contradicts something else. For example, the word simpoin is sometimes used of a mum that makes it that you bought an eved or something and now you don't want that eved anymore because you find he has a mum that you don't like. Here, a simpoin means a shoiver, means a receipt saying that this debt was paid off. So the loiva has the simpoin as it should. And it has Adam, Yiskayim b'choismav. So now we have to validate the signatures as usual to make sure that it's genuine. That's according to Rashi that we're talking about, that the loiva has it in his possession. Tosfos says that actually no. If it's in the hand of the loiva, such a document is called a shover. When we're calling it simpoin, it's actually in the hands of the malva, which is not where you would expect it to be. The malva shouldn't have the shover. The loiva should. So here we're talking about yiskayim b'choismav, meaning we ask the edim, meaning not yiskayim b'choismav as usually means that we validate whether the signatures are valid. Tosfos brings from the relevant Gemara in Bava Metzia, means we ask the edim themselves in Beis Din. Oh, was this shtar in fact paid off or not? Did you sign on Stroiver because the debt was already paid, or did you sign it because the Malva wanted it in preparation for when the Loiva pays the debt or something?
Question it, even though it's a start.
Anyway, so continues. Yeah, so we would, yeah. Well, one way or the other, when a shtar is brought to base, then we always question it. We always have to see whether it might be forged or something. The first thing we have to do with a shtar is kiyum shtaris and a henpik, like we just said.
So he was signing on something that didn't happen yet.
That's a question in itself. But the point is, in other words, let's say we still have to ask them whether, in fact, it was paid off or whether there's a different reason why they signed it. Anyway, continues.
What's the din here talking about in this case? Simply, what's a simply
Oh, that's
different?
what I'm saying. A simpon is a shover. Rashi learns that the simpon is everything is on the up and up. It's where it's expected to be. The loiva has it in his possession. Nevertheless, let's say the malva is claiming, you didn't pay the debt. The shtar is forged. So fine, we bring it to Beis Din and validate the signatures as usual. And once we do, then the malva has no more case. Tosfos is saying that no, the shover is in the hands of the malva, which is why we call it by the unusual name simpon. So therefore, yiskayim b'chosmav means we have to ask the Edim, was this debt in fact paid off or not? Anyway, it continues the Braisa. Ain all of Edim. What if the Simpon does not have Edim on it? The yotz mitachas yidei shlish. Instead, it's in the hands of a third party. So the loiva doesn't have it in his possession. A third party has it, and that means, and they both agree that he was trusted to hold on to the shtar. Or if the Simpon, if the shover is written after the signature is on the shtar itself, kosher. Then it's kosher because in the case where it's signed after the shtar, it's very easy to understand. The malva holds on to the shtar until the debt is paid off. He would never agree that something like that would be written underneath the shtar that was paid off, unless it truly was paid off. As far as where it's in the hands of the sholish, but pashtus, that means says Rava, alma sholish mehaman. So you see that the sholish is believed, not like you're saying that she's not believed in the second version because it was ischazik bebedina. So the Gemara says Tiyufta to Reb Nachman. So that's a contradiction on the second version of Reb Nachman Tiyufta. So that is in fact a valid refutation, and therefore the halacha is not like the second version of Reb Nachman, but rather like the first version that the sholish can be believed. There is that nigger that she could have burnt it, but anyway, we're saying that a sholish is believed about such things.
Well, that means that even though the Beis knew about it, it still could be
It still could be, yes.
used
Yeah.
with, as evidence.
Yeah.
It comes out of a different.
Right. Okay, the Gemara continues. Ki also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omer Rav Yechanan, he said that Rav Yechanan had said, the Baal Din can always bring a proof and get the case rejudged until he closes up his tainus. So actually, statim tanoisav sounds like he's saying, I have no more edim and I have no more raya. The Gemara is assuming actually statim tanoisav means that he says I have no edim and no raya, and then later on he says, like we've had in the Mishnah, that he says, you know what, Pliny and Pliny, you're standing here in the Beis Din, come on over and say edus on my behalf. It sounds like so this actually statim tanoisav v'omar, and he says v'yomar, and he says kivu Pliny or Pliny v'hayduni, Pliny and Pliny, come over here and give edus. So it sounds, so on the face of it, Reb Dimi is saying that Reb Yechon is saying there need to be two things in order for us not to accept his edus. Number one, that he said I have no more edim, and number two, that he's calling them over right there in Beis Din. So the Gemara says, "How go for Kasha?" Well, you seem to have a contradiction between in what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. You start Motan Noisav means that he says, "I have no more Edim." That means even if he found them outside Beis Din, then we wouldn't accept them, like the Chachamim. But then we're saying he'd only not accept them when he says, "Come," when he says in the Beis Din shtibble, "Come over here," implying he knew of them all along. That would be like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So what does Rabbi Yochanan hold? You're saying that once he says I have no more edim, then at that point we don't accept any further edim that he brings after that. Asan l'rabbanan, that would be like the rabbanan, as opposed to Reb Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah. But listen, he didn't know he had edim, and now he discovers he has. Then he's saying that. Then Rabbi Yochanan is saying that. When do we not accept his edim? Only when he says, "Hey, you and you, come over here in the Beis Din shtibble in the audience and give edus on my behalf." Where there, we have every reason to think that he's colluding with them in advance to do false edus over there. Otherwise, why do you say such a thing in the first place? And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, only then do we not accept him. Asan the Rabbi Gamliel. Well, that goes now according to the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. You're going to say that maybe Rabbi Yochanan's entire statement is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Purushi kama farish, you should say that maybe Rabbi Yochanan is clarifying what he meant. My adchi statim tanoisav. What does he mean by the words adchi statim tanoisav? Not just that he says I have no more edim, but where he says, I don't have any edim, but where he actually says kiruv adchi yoma kiruv plenty plenty vahiduni. That he, in other words, it's not just enough that he says that I don't have any edim. Then we would say, fine, if you find edim later on, Reb Shimon Gamliel will accept them. But we're saying even Reb Shimon Gamliel won't accept when he knows about them all along, and it's clear because now he says, hey, come over here and give edus. So you're going to say that's what Reb Shimon, that's what Reb Yochanan means. Maybe he means adchi statim tanoisav. And how do we find you statim tanoisav when he tries to play a trick like that in Beis Din? The problem with that is we said on Amar Aleph that Rabbi Baba Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that wherever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says a halacha in Mishnayos, halacha kamoisa, the halacha is like always like him, chutz me'orav v'tzayden v'ray achrayne, except for the three cases that we talked about on Amar Aleph. So how can Rav Dimi now say that that Rabbi Yochanan holds the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the second case of our Mishnah when Rabbi Bachana says that he didn't, that he obviously didn't? Now, the obvious question is, the Gemara has many times brought the point, gavra gavra karamis, what are you bringing, you bring a contradiction from one amora on another, they can hold different ways, so why doesn't the Gemara say very simply that that Rav Dimi had a different version of what Rav Yochanan said, and that he does say that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and yeah. So the Sanhedrin Tana actually says that fine, the Gemara is not saying that we can't accept what Rav Dimi is saying. It's saying we can't accept it, not because necessarily because he's disagreeing with Rav Baba Chana, but because we know that what Rav Baba Chana is accepted as halacha, so therefore now Rav Dimi's statement clearly contradicts that. So it's not that we have a problem, it's not that we're saying Rav Dimi doesn't know what he's talking about, but we're saying the fact is, la halacha, we accept Rav Baba Chana's version of what Rav Yochanan says, therefore we can't accept Rav Dimi's version of it. The Orach HaNer gives a different answer. He says it's one thing, the Rashi makes this point in a couple of places in Shas, and Amoda might make a mistake about what he heard. He might construe what the Amoda said differently than what he actually meant. But he's not going to make up something out of whole cloth. Rav Dimi is quoting something in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, which clearly contradicts something that Rav Baba Chana quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. We're not going to assume that they're doing that. We can't assume that one of them is really grossly mistaken about what Rabbi Yochanan said, and we're not going to do that. So Ella ki osir of Shmuel by Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So when Rav Shmuel by Yehuda came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained the name of Rabbi Yochanan. No, what Rabbi Yochanan meant was la'olam mevi raya v'sosa adchi statim tanoisav. He can always bring a raya and get the case rejudged until his tainus are closed up, namely v'yomru loy hove edim, namely they tell him bring edim, v'omer ainli edim, and he says I don't have any edim, hove raya, they tell him bring a raya, v'omer ainli raya, v'omer ainli raya, aval, but Rabbi Yochanan continues, bo edim in medinas hayam, if edim come from a faraway country where he couldn't have known that they were available, or that the disakia of the father of his father was where disakia is a kind of a leather bag. Rashi describes disakia is actually a d is a prefix and is a Gemara prefix meaning two. No, it's actually a Greek prefix meaning two. You have it in a number of places in Shas where you have words with d or du, which means two. So disakia means a double bag. So people would keep their shtaris in it. So if his father's disakia, his father's files, mufkedes biadacher, are entrusted to somebody else and he didn't know what was in there, hareza mevi raya v'sosa, then he could bring a raya and undo it. So therefore, so the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. We don't have to contradict what Rav Baba Chana says. However, even the Chachamim are going to agree in cases like that, where it comes from Medinas Hayam, where he didn't know what was in his father's papers, and like we had on Amud Aleph, where Yosim doesn't always know what's going on with his father's affairs, then even the Chachamim agree that even after he said, I have no raya or no edim, he can still bring them after all.
But is that against Rav Shimon Gamliel?
It's not against Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold that he could bring them in all cases, unless he says, kiruv plenty or plenty v'hoiduni. The Chum say that generally not, because he already said, I have no edim and I have no raya. But in cases like this, Rav Yochanan is saying, even the Chachamim would agree. Okay. Another din, not directly related to the above, ki osir of dimi amar Rabbi Yochanan hatokef es chaver abadin. If one person is being harsh against the other one in a din Torah, so you have Rashi describes you have a baal din kosher. You know, we say every day in davening that Hashem should save us. Midin kosher, with baal din kosher. A baal din kosher would be a baal din who's the type he's demanding his way and he's going to cause trouble if he doesn't or whatever, and he's demanding that he's. So he's matriach, the other guy. So now the other guy wants to go and have the din Torah judged in another place because he figures, you know what, this guy is a tough character. He's likely in a local Beis Din, for example. He might figure he can get away with lying or doing whatever. So let's go to a different Beis Din out of town where he won't have his ability to have such break kite with them. So shnayim so hatokef es chaver benin echad oma nodun kan. So the tough customer says, let's just judge the din Torah over here because he knows, let's say, that the local dayanim are that he can get away with being mechutzef to the local dayanim, for example. The echad oma nelech l'makom avad, and the other one says we have to go to the makom avad, to the place where the greater Beis Din is. Koyfinoisev yelech l'makom avad, then we can force him to go to the Beis Avad, to the makom avad. Omer l'fon of Rabbi Lozer, but Rabbi Lozer says to Rabbi Lozer says to Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe, Mishen noishe b'chaver emana. So imagine, for example, that he's saying that he owes him a mana, and now it's going to costs to travel to another place. Yotzi mana al mana. Should we make him spend a mana in order to collect a mana? What would be the point? Ella koyfenoise v'don beira. Rather, Rabbi Lozer says, we're going to force him to actually judge the din Torah in town. So it's going to have to be in town. And as far as this baal din kosher, the local Beis Din will have to deal with that. But we can't force them to travel to someplace else. After all, this baal din kosher, he may have the right of it in the case, after all, and you can't make him spend so much expenses just to collect a debt that he says he's owed. Tosfos points out, by the way, over here, a point that when a person is chayav b'din, he doesn't necessarily pay the expenses. Lahavdil, in the goyish courts, sometimes you have the loser of a case has to pay the court expenses of the winner. Tosfos says, apparently here we see that not, because otherwise, what do you mean? He's spending a mana to collect a mana, and if he wins the case, he's getting that mana that he spent for the travel reimbursed. So therefore, we have to say that he's not entitled to that reimbursement.
What did you say?
We're saying that Reuven says to Shimon, listen, you owe me $100, we need to go to Beis Din. So Shimon denies it or whatever, so they have to go to Beis Din. Reuven is saying, so fine, let's get the case judged over here in town. Shimon says, no, listen, you're a baal din kosher. I don't want to have to deal with you here in town. Let's go to the Beis Avad. So Rabbi Yochanan had said that we forced them to do that. Rabbi Lozer says, listen, then it comes out, after all, maybe Reuven, as much as he's a baal din kosher, he's not a nice guy, but he is owed that $100. If you're going to make him spend $100 on travel expenses to the other town, then what's the point? So rather, no, it has to be judged in town. Tosfos is saying, if we were to say that Shimon, if he loses the case, has to reimburse Reuven for his travel expenses, then Rabbi Lozer wouldn't be making that point. Because one way or the other, he's getting back his $100 that he says he's owed. Whether he gets the $100 that he says he's owed, fine. But he'd also, if he wins the case, he's also getting reimbursed for the $100 that he spent traveling over there. And the fact that we're not saying that implies, says Tosfos, that he's not required to pay those kinds of expenses. Itmar Nami, they said also Amar Rab Safra, Amar Rab Yechanan, Shnayim Shnis Atzmu Badin, when two people are powerful one another against one another in judgment. So Atokef Es Chaver Badin means one of them is a Baal Din Kosher and the other one is not. Nis Atzmu means Rashi says they both become kosher to one another. now they're really at loggerheads. So the same thing. Echad em nodun kan ve'echad em nelech l'makom avad. Kofi noise b'don b'iroi. Then, like Rabbi Lozer says, we force them to judge the case in town. V'im hutzrach davar lishol. If the local Beis Din has to ask because they're not sure about a halacha, kosim l'sholchan. Then, fine, they write a letter to a greater Beis Din wherever it is, and they ask them. What if the loser in the case says, you know what, I want you, local Beis Din, to write me out a shtar that explains the psak din, on what grounds did you judge me? Because he figures this way he can use it in case he's going to send it to a greater Beis Din and they can evaluate and see, did the local Beis Din make a mistake? So Koistman and Nystein, like, then they do write and they give it to him because yeah, they you have to give him, you have to give him that, at least that he should have the ability to appeal in case he finds that there's no, by the way, there's no concept in halacha, by the way, of appeals like the way you have in the Goyish court system where you can appeal just because you didn't like the verdict. The only case where you can appeal is something like this, where there's evidence that the where there's evidence that the first Beis Din made a mistake or didn't consider some evidence or something like that.
Where's their evidence?
Here we go. Here was, so here, what we're saying, no, because we're saying that he writes, they write out Mehechem Dantuni. On what grounds did you judge me? Now he can take that letter to a greater Beis Din, and they can say, you know what? Looking it over, it's true that Beis Din made a mistake. They should have considered such and such. And the Braisa continues, or not the Braisa, Rab Safra continues. Va'yivama hilechas achra yavam. The yavama has to follow the yavam. To make her mutter to be choilitz for her. So in other words, you can't force the yavam to go to her, to where she is. It has to be that she's willing to travel to where the yavam is, because what he's doing for her is going to make her mutter to get married. The Gemara asks, ad kama, how far does she have to travel? Amarabami, I feel it's very elitzipori. Even for example, from Tveria to Tzipori, even now, the Tveria and Tzipori are not that far apart. But the point is, even though there's many more people in Tveria, we're not going to say that we're not going to say that that he has to come to her. Amar Rav Kahana Maikra, where does the Pasuk express that point? The Pasuk says, "V'koru lo zikne iroi." The Pasuk says, the skenim of his city should call him into Beis Din for the chalitza. V'lo zikne ira, implying not the members of the Beis Din of her town. Omer says, no, not like we've been saying all along. No, the halacha is that he's going to be forced to go to the Mokam Avad. They do have to go to the greater Beis Din if one of them demands it. So Rav Ashi asks, Amemer, didn't Rav Elazar say that we force him to judge in his town? And the answer is, if the loiva is the original Baal Din Kosher, and he's the one insisting we should go out of town, then we don't do that. Aval Malva, but if the Malva insists that we go out of town, then as the Pasuk says, Eved Loiva, the Ish Malva, the loiva is a slave to the Malva, meaning in other words, he's subject to him. About in this kind of thing, where what the venue is going to be for the Din Torah, the Malva has the upper hand in that matter. So rather than making so if the loiva says we should go to the Mokam Avad, then we say that no, you have to do it over here. Why should I, the Malva, have to spend the money in order to collect the money, like we said before? But where the Malva is saying we should go elsewhere, where the Malva is willing to spend that money on the travel, because he figures that the local Beis Din may not know the halacha and they may wrongly judge against him, and he wants to go to the Mokam Avad, there we say Eved Loiva Leish Malva. So there is an explanation that now before, so we were talking about Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar before. On the face of it, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar would be disagreeing, because Rabbi Yochanan is saying that we go to the Mokam Avad, and Rabbi Elazar was saying that you go Be'iroi. So Rabbeinu Hananel says that they're not necessarily arguing with one another. Even that also, Rabbi Yochanan versus Rabbi Elazar, are talking about the Loiva versus the Malva, like the Gemara is saying over here regarding Amema versus Rabbi Elazar. On the other hand, Rashi seems to be explaining not like that, and there's some discussion about why Rashi learns that way rather than just learning more straightforwardly like Rabbeinu Hananel. So the Maharshal, the Maharshal mentions the Maharshal discusses that point, and he says that because in the case where we're saying they want to go to the Mokam Avad, because Rashi is understanding exactly that we're talking about, that he figures right now the Malva is a Baal Din Kosher, and outside of town he might not be so kosher. But again, we're saying over here there can also be a distinction between who is demanding at the Malva or the Loiva. Well, speaking of such a case where a person was made to go to a Beis Din out of town, the Gemara says, "Sholchu leila ma'ukva." The Beis Din of Tveria. Now one point is also that we were saying just now that Tveria is the main Mokam Avad. It was the place of the greatest Beis Din of those times in Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, we said if the Yavam lives in Tzipori and the Yavama lives in Tveria, we can't force the Yavam to go to Tzipori. No matter what, it doesn't matter actually. Regardless, she has to always go to where the Yavam is, even if it's in Tzipori. security where the lesser button, where the lesser Beis Din is located. So here the Gemara is going to bring an example to show how the greatest Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael in those times was in Tveria. The Gemara says, Shochu lo ma'ukva. The Chachamim of Tveria sent the following message to Ma'ukva, who was the Av Beis Din in Bavel. They addressed him, L'dizivle kebar Basya, addressed to the one who glows, who has a shine like the son of Basya. The son of Basya is Moshe Rabbeinu, like in our parasha, where Basya saves him. Bas Pare saves him. Now, and we know Moshe's face shone. So they were addressing him like that. Rashi brings like this. Rashi brings from a Sefer Haggadah that Ma'ukva over here was a Baal Teshuva. One time he had a particular desire for a woman who was an Eishes Ish. He even got sick from it. Then eventually it happened that she needed to borrow money from him. Now, she was even willing, she was in such desperate straits that she was willing to be mezana with him if that's what it takes to get the loan. And he held himself back despite the fact that he had that tremendous taiva for her to the point where he had gotten sick and he didn't do any. He didn't do such a thing. So therefore, from then on, there was always a himmeldicke light over his head whenever he would go out in the street. So therefore now, the Chacham in Tveria are addressing him as the one who shines like Bar Basya, like Moshe Rabbeinu, the son of Basya. Rashi brings another explanation. The word is not Basya, but rather Bisya, or rather Beisei, rather, which means Beisei means his house. Moshe is Bechol Beisei, Naman Hu, and therefore the Debar Beisei means the one who is, so to speak, a member of Hashem's household, namely Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyway, so they're addressing Ma'ukva with this title. They say, Shlom, peace. We want to tell you the following case. Ukvan Abavli Kovel Kadmona. Ukvan, that was the man's name, from Bavel, was here in Eretz Yisrael, and he complained in front of us, Yirmiyah Ochi Hever Elias HaDerech. My brother Yirmiyah made the road pass over me. Now, what does that mean? Rashi has two explanations. One is it means that he took away from me Derech Bnei Adam. So Rashi says, Shesirsoi, that he castrated him. So this Ukvan is complaining that his brother Yirmiyah had injured him and caused him, and now he's unable to have children. Rashi's second explanation, Hever Elias HaDerech, just means Loi Nogi Mi Keshura. He didn't act to me in a Derech Eretzik way like you would do in Dinim Mominus. So according to the first version, he's complaining, well, in both cases, it might be Dinim Mominus. In the one case, it would be an injury. And in the second case, he's just saying he did something else wrong to me, but it doesn't specify what. Marsha says a possibility within that. Hever Elias HaDerech can mean literally to make the road cross through me. Namely, in Bava Basra, it talks about where two people, where for example, two Yoshim inherit a field from their father, and Me'ikra Din, neither one is entitled to a path through the other one's field. So the one who gets the field further away from the road, if he wants a path to go to his field, he's going to have to arrange with the other one, he's going to have to pay him, or somehow get him to agree to give him a path. So now what we're saying is that Ukvan is complaining that Yirmiyah didn't do that, he blazed a path through my field without me giving permission. So the Beis Din in Tveria is sending a message to Ma'ukva in Bavel, the Omruloi. So they, or rather we, said to him, Hashi'uhu, convince him, meaning force him, the Yira Panena B'Tveria, and he should see us in Tveria. And we're going to judge the case over here. So in other words, tell Yirmiyah, if you're going to have to come, we're summoning you to the Beis Din in Tveria, and you're going to have to work things out with your brother Ukvan. So the Gemara asked, "Hogo for Kasha?" Well, there seems to be a contradiction within what the Beis Din is saying. Amrit Imruloi, they're saying, "Say to him, Alma Dine Yatun, Dainua Atun," which means that they're sending the message to Ma'ukva to tell him, "You, the Av Beis Din in Bavo, you should judge him." And then they say, "Ashiu, v'yira panena b'Tveria." Then they're saying, "Make him come and see us in Tveria." Alma Shadru Hocha, which means they're saying, "Send him to us in Tveria." So what are they saying? No, what they mean to say is like this. Imrulei, tell Yirmiyah that he should figure out something, he should make up with Ukvan, meaning dainu atzon. First, you should judge the case. Eat Sayas, if he listens and agrees to follow your psak din Sayas, then good, then you can stop right there. You don't need to go any, you don't need to go any further than that. The Eloi, but if not, if he refuses to follow your psak din, hashiu v'yiropanenu v'tveria, then force him to come see us in Tveria. Tosfos explains that itzayis doesn't mean loit sayis doesn't mean that you can't force him, because then if the bote din and bovel are not going to be able to force him to follow the psak din, the ones in Eretz Yisrael surely won't be able to. We learned in the first paddock, the ones in bovel had greater powers given to them by the government. But rather it means, for example, loit sayis, Tosfos says, means that he says, I don't hold that you in Bavel should be judging me. I insist on going to the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, who are greater to my Chachamim. Then they say, fine, then send him to us in Tveria. Rav Ashi, Yomer, Rav Ashi gives another answer. Dine knosses hava. What we're dealing over here with, it wasn't a case of mammon. It was a case of knas. It was a case of knas. For example, choyva b'chaveri, where a number of the payments over there are knas. So in Bavel, they don't judge dinik knosses in the first place because they don't have smicha. The reason why they sent a message to Ma'ukva, which implies that he could judge the case, and only if not, then they should send him to Tveria, is only k'delachlet kovod l'ma'ukva, in order to show kovod to Ma'ukva, in other words, because they're saying you're so distinguished, you shine like Moshe Rabbeinu, but really you should know, you don't have the samchus to judge this case, therefore send him to us in Tveria. However, they're writing it in a way that makes it sound as though they're first giving him the opportunity to judge the case, where they know full well that he won't, because he knows that there's no dinik knosis in Bavel. Hadron alach zebor.
Mentioned in the class about the trade.